We said in the last session that the key to a good leader is having a good follower. In the marriage relationship, this is uniquely true, as a husband senses his wife's response to his leadership for better or for worse. Most men will respond to that in an honest effort to improve the quality of their leadership and to improve their ability to carry the responsibility of management and all the other aspects of the role of a husband. So, if the husband seeks to fulfill his role of leadership, he will normally respond more positively and enthusiastically to the fulfilling of that, as he senses the followership, if I may use that word, the followership of his wife. So, we've looked at the first part of a wife's responsibility in the area of being a follower. Now the second, and we call this the role of the helper, or the partner, the contributor, however you wish to define it. In Genesis 2:18, we have the original statement regarding this particular aspect of the wife's role. Before we read that, I would like for you to go back and look at verse 15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it." Adam was given his responsibility and, in fact, his job description. Take care of the garden. There it was. It was very clear. And then a few verses later, in verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." And so out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. He named all the animals. Now, picture with me, if you will. Let your imagination go back to that situation. Here's Adam, all alone, and he has this garden to take care of. Maybe it was something like Glen Eyrie that we have out there in Colorado. There are several acres of lawn there. I don't know if they had lawns in the Garden of Eden, but they had all kinds of things. And it was his job to till it and to keep it. So, as he named those animals, I'm confident that he was looking for all the help he could get. And he watched those animals go by, and he saw those big animals. And he said, "Now, they look like they should be able to help me move things. They look very strong. So, that'll be how they help me get my job done." Other animals came by, and he thought of other jobs. And then the sheep walked by, and as they walked by, they stopped and nibbled the grass, and he said, "Hey, there's my lawn mowing crew." And on he went through all the animals. Well, the reason I'm pointing this out is that in all of those animals, he found everything he needed to get his job done, to accomplish his job description. Having done that, after he names all of the animals, it says in verse 20, "Yet was there not a helper found for him?" He had all the help he needed for his job, but there was no helper found for him. And that is when God, in his own way, brought about the fusion of two people as he brought the woman to the man. And Adam looked at her, and he said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Not like all these animals. As beautiful as they are and as helpful as they're going to be, here is someone who is made as I am. Someone who will respond as I respond. Someone who will understand me because they're like me. And so God made the woman to meet that unique need in the man. In the Spanish Bible, a phrase is used which translated means that the woman was ideally suited for the man. I like that phrase. Ideally suited. A beautiful phrase, because that is exactly God's intention. The woman is ideally suited. Now, for this to take place, there has to be a willingness to demonstrate qualities of scriptural love as we've looked at them, because love binds and builds, remember? And so the woman is to demonstrate these same qualities. It isn't just the man. Because as members of the body of Christ, we have already demonstrated and explained, we must demonstrate love to one another. And so, in the fulfilling of this role of helper or partner, the basis, that which holds it together, that which binds it together, the basis is love, an attitude of love. No one else can contribute to a man's life in the same way that his wife can. No one else can. Proverbs 12:4 says, A good wife is the crown of her husband. But she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. A good wife is the crown of her husband. She contributes to his life in an unusual, unique capacity. No one else is able to do it in the same way. Another passage is Proverbs 18:22, which refers to that same truth. Now, one of the reasons this is true is that a wife has an intimate knowledge of her husband that no one else has. Therefore, she has a unique opportunity to support him and assist him in areas that may not be demonstrated outside of the confines of their relationship. Needs that may be unobtrusive, but which are needs nevertheless. It's a tremendous contribution that a wife can make. Of course, we have to put into the context here that a husband must be willing to allow his wife to contribute in this way. Now, to fulfill this role of being a helper, a wife needs to demonstrate and accept a total commitment of selflessness. But remember now, this is true of every member of the body of Christ. Submission or selflessness is part of the characteristic of the Christian life. In order to help anyone, at any level of interpersonal relationships, there always must be the demonstration of selflessness. I give up my own desires. I give up that which I would like in order to try to meet the needs of someone else. This quality is uniquely true of the relationship of husband and wife, as God has assigned to the wife the role of being a helper. So the first thing, then, in this area of being a helper or a contributor is that God made the woman ideally suited for the husband. The second area is that the husband must be the primary ministry of that woman. The husband must be the primary ministry. Compare, if you please, the passage we looked at earlier in Ephesians 5:24 that talks about the role of the church. The primary responsibility of the church is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from other passages of Scripture that the church's primary role is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, to serve Him, to honor Him. That's our primary role. And so, this relationship of Christ and the church is likened to the husband-wife relationship. The wife plays the role, if you please, that takes the place of the body of Christ seeking to serve and to honor the Lord. In this case, accepting that role in the relationship to her husband. And her husband, therefore, is her primary ministry. Now, please keep this in mind. I am not saying that the husband is her exclusive ministry. In other words, this isn't all she does. It isn't that this takes all her time. It isn't that she has to give herself to this totally and exclusively. Again, look back to the whole concept of priorities. Her husband must have her primary attention. Generally, it's not going to take that much time. Some of us take more time than others, I know that. But we hope it's not going to take that much time. However, attention, yes, it will require attention, very much so. By the way, ladies, are you encouraging your husbands in an exercise program, for example? Seriously. You will reap miles and miles of benefits if you'll do so. Husbands that wear themselves out and become flaccid, muscularly, and disinterested in other areas of life, they wear out sooner. I would encourage you as a part of your ministry to your husband. Encourage them. Don't nag them, but encourage them. Any way that you can to be watching for themselves physically. Seriously, we need it. Every one of us needs to maintain some kind of a physical program. I'm not saying what kind it should be, but some kind of a rigorous physical conditioning program. I know the difference it makes in my own life and the ability it gives me to continue and the stamina that it gives me and many other things that are positive contributions. And I appreciate the fact that Florine is considerate enough and desirous enough that I do this, that not only does she smile on my involvement in various pursuits to do this, but she encourages them, even though we can't do them together. I have a program of weight training I go through, and she encourages me. I go out and play tennis with some of my friends, and these are things that she cannot do with me. But she knows this contributes to my well-being physically, and I appreciate that kind of encouragement, because it could be just the other way around. So wives, encourage your husbands. All right, now still thinking about the husband as the primary ministry. We said that she can help him in her attitude by prior attention. We suggested that it is not exclusive. But fourth, we want to say that one of the ways in which she contributes to the husband most effectively is in providing a home. A home. And when I think of that, there are many qualities to a home. I'm talking about an atmosphere of encouragement and understanding and refuge. You know, husbands don't like to admit it, but we depend on our wives a great deal. I don't know why it is that a man resists admitting dependence, but we do. We depend on our wives to provide some of those qualities that I've just suggested: encouragement, understanding, and refuge. Secondly, he can depend on her. This is how she contributes. This is how she provides a home. He can depend on her. Third, she doesn't try to manipulate. She discusses things freely and openly. Incidentally, there is a book which has been popular for some time, and the reason for which I am not in total agreement with it is that I feel it encourages wives to manipulate their husbands. And I feel that this is dishonest. Rather than manipulate, express yourself honestly and openly. Talk about what you think and how you feel. And then finally, fourth, is the fact that the attitude of the wife will determine the quality of the home. It can be a trap or an opportunity, depending on the attitude of the wife. And finally, from 1 Timothy 6:6, if a wife exhibits contentment with her role, exhibits contentment, this is another way in which she can contribute to this matter of encouraging her husband. To find a wife that is happy, contented as a wife, and a mother that is contented is an exciting experience. To find a wife who is experiencing fulfillment in that role is a delightful encounter, and for no one more than for her husband. To find a wife who is content with her role is a way in which she is ministering to him. The third area of her primary role as a helper is to contribute as a member of the partnership. Contribute as a member of this partnership of marriage. There are many ways in which she can do that. I read an article about a man. This was again in one of those columns, Life in the United States, in the Reader's Digest. And this fellow wanted to buy a sailboat. He was discussing it with his wife. They were considering the budget and whether they could handle it or not. And he kept putting pressure on her, almost trying to make her tell him that it was okay to do it. And she refused to do that. She was wise enough to recognize it and to back off and just say, well, it's your decision and you do what you think is right. That went on for a number of days. And then one day he was leaving for work. And as he left, he said goodbye to her. And she turned and said, bye. And he said, oh, I was hoping you would say that. You see, what he wanted was to buy that boat. Now, I don't think that husband was really looking for a helpful contribution. But a wife should contribute as a member of the partnership. Proverbs 31 is a passage that we won't look at in detail. A passage that speaks very clearly about this matter of contributing as a member of a partnership. Now, please don't be like the lady who honestly came up to me and said she was having problems getting into real estate. You see, it talks here about the fact that she goes out and buys property. And this lady was really trying to put that into practice, and she was having difficulty. So don't take that literally, but get the principle from it. She contributes as a member of the partnership in whatever way she can. And there are many ways in which this can be done. You can read that passage and get your own ideas. Work together as you determine how a wife can contribute to the partnership. Secondly, As a member of the partnership, she communicates honestly. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" And so she talks, she shares ideas, she contributes to decision-making, she brings up subjects that need attention. She does not let things go until they become a conflict. She keeps discussing areas openly, both by way of information as well as her reactions to situations. Third, she makes helpful suggestions. The timing of this, of course, is very crucial. Nevertheless, a wife who is contributing to this partnership makes suggestions and gives ideas that will be helpful in fulfilling the partnership. And in making these helpful suggestions, it keeps her from going off and sitting and sulking because she feels something has been unfair. Instead, she expresses and she forgives and she forgets, contributing as a member of the partnership. Then finally, the fourth area of her role as a helper is in the area of character adornment. 1 Peter 3:3-6 says, "Let not yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair, decoration of gold, and wearing of robes." Incidentally, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to dress nicely. He's not saying you shouldn't do that. He's simply saying, don't substitute that for something that is lacking inside. There's nothing wrong with being well-dressed and keeping yourself as presentably and beautifully as you can. We husbands want that. We're proud of you, and we want others to recognize how proud we are. So don't take that to mean that there's something wrong with that. That's not what Peter's suggesting, but what he is saying is, don't let it substitute. Instead, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable jewel of a quiet and gentle spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So once the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves and were submissive to their husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, and now you are her children, if you do right and let nothing terrify you. The inward adorning, ladies, the inward adorning of character. Physical beauty is external. It deteriorates. But there is something about character that with age becomes more beautiful. A gentle and a quiet spirit becomes more beautiful through the years. I've had the privilege of watching my mother through these many years. I watched her go through my father's death a few years ago. She is now 78. Her life has become a more refreshing experience year after year. I delight to stop by and visit her. We received a call just the other day. Our son Tom happened to be in that area and stopped by to see her, and they called us together. Our children love to be around her. Her great-grandchildren love to be around her. There's just something refreshing about her. A character, the meek, the gentle, the quiet spirit about which the Bible speaks becomes more beautiful as the years go by. Don't ever forget that. And then Proverbs 31:25-27. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at time to come. I like that. I like that because I think one of the greatest contributions a wife can make to a marriage is a sense of humor. We men tend to get overly serious about ourselves sometimes. We tend to be sullen sometimes. And the brightness and the refreshing and the sense of humor can add to that relationship. She laughs at time to come. She's not afraid of the future. And then it goes on, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is in her tongue. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The teaching of kindness is in her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And notice the results now. Her children rise up and call her blessed. What greater tribute could a mother desire, even for those who may not be blessed with children? Her husband also rises up and praises her, and he says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You know, if I were a woman, a wife, I don't think there would be anything else I would long for more than those words. The delightful result of a woman who is willing to fulfill her role as a helper and as a follower. In closing this session on the wife's role, I'd like to share with you a prayer that was written by a wife that I feel speaks volumes. Here's what it says. Father, I pray that our marriage will become more and more intimate and harmonious, like the relationship between you and your son. Enable me to do my part in stimulating this unity by respecting, admiring, and submitting to the one you have given me to be my leader. Thank you that your design for marriage is for our good, that we may find maximum gladness and fulfillment, and for your glory as together we reveal you to others. Thank you for uniquely designing me to be a helper suitable to my husband. May he be, next to you, the number one person in my life, at the top of my daily priority list. Make me sensitive to his needs and delighted to meet them. Cause me to chatter less and listen more, to understand his intentions and cooperate with his ideas and plans, to have a teachable, flexible spirit that does not insist on my viewpoints or my way of doing things. Above all, love him through me, with your unconditioned love for him that will overshadow his faults and failures and support him in the hour of his temptation. Cause me to focus my thoughts on the things about him that I admire, and give me the words to express this admiration to him. I want to be wholeheartedly on his team, his greatest supporter and fan. Make me aware of my slightest deviation from this, your way for me. And when I offend him by word or attitude, give me the grace to seek his forgiveness immediately, though it be a dozen or even 100 times a day. Cause me always to remember that Christ is my life, that he is a tremendous power within me, making me sufficient to be the helper my husband needs. Together, may we show our children, in living color, an example of your love. In Jesus' name.